Stick around. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. Now, not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
KBOO Community Radio and Triangle Productions are proud to co-sponsor the return of Medicarefully Fabulous. Friday, August 8th through Saturday, August 16th, Medicarefully Fabulous will return to the Sanctuary Theater for a limited engagement. The show is a series of original stories about aging, faith, friendships, and recovery. Again, that's Medicarefully Fabulous, Friday, August 8th through Saturday, August 16th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, August 14th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a lot of guests to get to. We've got three people to speak to today. There are headlines, which I can try to put up on the KBOO website, but we want to get right straight away speaking with Helen Yost with the Clean Skies Campaign from Montana in Wyoming. To the West Coast, dozens of communities are impacted by proposals to bring more dirty, polluting coal trains through our towns and communities, not to mention our wildlands, our remote areas where a spill or a fire could go undetected and unaddressed for hours or if not days before the damage has already been done. Fortunately, people up and down the rail line are organizing to protect the communities from coal exports this summer. Groups from across the country, in this case we're speaking with the Clean Skies Campaign in Montana, where their movement is catalyzing in new and bolder ways. Coming up this Saturday, Blue Skies Campaign, Indian People's Action, Wild Idaho Rising Tide, and other groups are getting together for a day of nonviolent actions. There's all kinds of ways that even if you're not in Montana, you can participate by standing up in solidarity. Go out in the woods and take a look around at exactly what we stand to lose. For that matter, simply walk the streets in your community and picture what it would look like if it were impacted by a spill or an inevitable accident. And we're going to speak very, very shortly with Helen Yao with Clean Skies. And we're also going to be speaking today with Lena Masri. She is the Council on American Islamic Relations for Michigan. Central Michigan, of course, is home to the largest community of Muslims in the United States. And in that area, there have been increasing problems with Muslims being placed on the terror watch list simply for being Muslim. We'll be speaking with Lena in just a moment. Right now we have Helen Yost, who is with Clean Skies. Good morning, Helen. Thanks for being with us on rather short notice, but welcome nonetheless to the KBOO airwaves. Good morning. Helen, we got you on the air. Are you there?
I am here. I can hear you.
Great. So this is very exciting. Keeping up the pressure is important. It's summer. This is a good time for direct action. And at the same time, it takes a very direct action to get people's attention because they're all mentally on vacation. Talk, if you can, a little bit about what you're doing coming up on this Saturday.
Well, there's been an action that was initiated by Blue Skies Campaign over in Missoula, Montana, And our group, Wild Idaho Rising Tide, as well as the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, are doing actions, this week, but mostly Saturday. And those are around deterring the export of coal through both coal trains running through the interior northwest, where oftentimes the communities that are most impacted are overlooked, and also, of course, the coal terminals that could receive permits soon, especially the one at Boardman, Oregon, that's been snuck under the radar.
The Boardman one is naturally of great concern, and we talk a lot about impact on communities, but impact on wildlands. First Nations have become increasingly involved. What stake do they have in this fight? There is their land, and one would expect, from a legal standpoint, that they would have greater claim and be able to simply stand up and say no, not in Indian territory.
Right. Their main claims, along with the Yakima Indian tribes, is that building a coal dock and out into the Columbia River is going to impact their treaty rights, their fishing grounds, and the Morro Pacific Project, who are the proponents of building Coyote Island Terminal in Boardman, Oregon, have even offered the Umatilla tribes a little bit of financial stake in the outcome of shipping coal. You know, they receive a small percentage of the proceeds, and thankfully, very valorously, they told them, no way, we don't want anything to do with it. So we're standing behind them, and also in solidarity with all the Montana folks who for years now have been fighting expansion of mines in the Powder River Basin in southern Montana and northern Wyoming. And we just feel very strongly that by next Monday, August 18th, the Oregon Department of Lands could issue, it's their final day to make a decision, permit for a removal fill project that would essentially lead to the beginning of the construction of that particular coal export dock. So we're going to make a strong stand right before that deadline and let them know that not only the people in up and down the west coast of Oregon and Washington are going to be impacted by an increase in coal trains to the region, but also, of course, people in the interior may suffer even more, since a lot of the coal dust that comes off trains happens closer to the mines. And it's an immediate threat, not like the possible threat of, let's say, oil trains exploding in communities.
We call them bomb trains out here. I'm sure that you do there, too. Helen, thank you very much for that. We're completely flat out of time. I want to thank you very, very much for joining us today. All the best of luck. We stand completely in solidarity with you. There will probably be actions here. On the West Coast. And I want to thank you once again for that. We've been speaking with Helen Yost, yes, of course, with the Clean Skies Campaign, and with Wild Idaho Rising Tide. Thanks again for that. We're going to speak now with Lena Massery. She is, of course, one of the staff attorneys with the Council on American Islamic Relations. She's also with the attorney for the Muslims who have been placed on the terrorism watch list for the simple crime of being Muslim. Now, if you take out the word Muslim and replace it with any other ethnic or religious identity, for example, Jewish, you would have a very different picture of the situation. You don't find any Jewish or Israeli people on terrorism watch list. It won't happen. So why Muslims? Good morning, Lena, and thank you very much for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
So this suit is challenging the placement of terror Muslims on the terrorism watch list. Since this has received a great deal, comparatively great deal of attention from mainstream media, I find it surprising that this practice continues unchallenged until now when you care bringing this suit. It seems like a great disgrace and a shame to the U.S. government and the American people to continue the practice.
Yes, and I couldn't have said it better myself. Under the current administration, there really has been a significant expansion of the number of American Muslims that are routinely being designated to the federal watch list. And all of these Muslims that are being designated are being denied any type of notice before they're added to the watch list, and they're denied any type of legal mechanism to contest their designation. This is an increasing problem. The number of complaints being received by our office by American Muslims being added to the terror watch list is on a weekly basis. And the purpose of our lawsuit is really to challenge that policy and practice of the government that allows them to designate individuals based on mere suspicion and not based on any type of concrete facts or evidence.
All kinds of people from all walks of life are being placed on this. Thank you so much for that, Lena. We have so little time on the show that I'm very, very glad to be able to welcome you to the Cable Airwaves. We will be getting back with you and checking in on the as this proceeds through the legal system. And indeed, it would be my hope that it reaches the Supreme Court, because this is very serious and it reflects extremely badly on the United States. Thank you very much. And we've been speaking with Lena Mastry. She is staff attorney with the Council on American Islamic Relations and also the attorney for the plaintiffs in this lawsuit. We go now to Sami Rasuli in Iraq. Good morning, Sami. And we finally have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's a good night here.
It's good night, excuse me. So, yes, it is.
Good morning to you.
Well, in any case, yeah, it is night in Iraq, and it seems we had on Peter Van Buren yesterday, 25 years with the State Department, talking about the fragmentation, the complete falling apart of this kind of political fabrication that is Iraq post the coup in 1958. The shape of Iraq has shifted and changed, and we finally bring us to where we are now. Do you see as far as the future for Iraq as three separate states?
Well, being on the ground here and reading the history of Iraq, particularly in the area, and, you know, we should not forget the presence of Israel in the midst of all this chaos. We learned that when we were young in the 80s, Odeid Yenin, he is a Zionist Israeli researcher who presented a thesis based on helping the Israeli government that lives among its enemies, the Arab countries, how to deal with them in the 80s. And the thesis came up with it, Mr. Yenin, saying the Arab countries should be fragmented and dismembered if Israel wants to live a long life in security. And later in 2006, in June 2006, the State Secretary of the U.S. at that time, Condoleezza Rice, was standing next to Ehud Olmert, the Prime Minister of Israel, and both introduced the new strategy of the U.S. implementing in the area, drawing the new map for the new Middle East based in creating constructive chaos. This constructive chaos later named as an Arab Spring, which never brought fruit to the countries that affected by it. And since then, beginning 2010, we saw how the Arab countries falling apart by inner fight, the Arabs themselves calling each other, killing each other, while Israel needed in the past every 10 years, less or more, to launch a major wars against the Arab countries, but not anymore, because the Arabs today are busy with this constructive chaos through injecting those countries, the Arab countries, by Islamists who are very extremist, as we learn, but they are trained in camps in Jordan, Turkey, and other places, financed by Arab-rich oil Gulf countries such as Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, and UAE. So ISIS, who are ISIS? We don't know ISIS. They just popped up on June 10th, and when we learn about them, Mosul was taken away.
Yeah, isn't that strange and surprising? Sambi, this is the most important. We are out of time, and I'm very frustrated. I'd like to talk with you some more right after the show and record more of this, because this is extraordinary. No one says this on the air. No one that I know of has ever come straight out and spoken of these things, which we know to be true. Thank you so much. I cannot express my gratitude enough for your words of absolute truth. Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Sami Rasuli. We are way out of time. This has been Cascadia for Thursday, August 14th, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks for that. Sam Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.